Throughout this Advent season, as we are preparing for Christmas, our theme here is about adoration. Just as the three wise men said, "Come, let us adore the newborn King." We want to be ready to enter into that adoration. And one aspect of adoration that goes hand in hand with it is silence. Now, so silence is going to be the topic of this homily. I'm not going to teach it by way of demonstration, unfortunately. Okay, so silence is something that I think, especially in our culture, we struggle to find. Right? We're constantly bombarded by external noise, and that contributes to internal noise, right? We're busied about by many things, like Martha, aren't we? And it seems that especially this time of year, rather than being able to enter into the silence of waiting, there's even more demands, there's even more things that seem to call our attention. So this, the request today is that we try to find some time for exterior silence so that we can cultivate the interior silence. I want to read something from Cardinal Sarah, who wrote this book called The Power of Silence. He says, "Silence of the heart consists in quieting little by little our miserable human sentiments so as to become capable of having the same sentiments as those of Jesus. Silence of the heart is silence of the passions. It is necessary to die to self in order to join the Son of God in silence." So this is exactly the example that we see of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, whose father was one of the priests of the temple, so by rights he would have fallen in that line, but he rejected that life, the life of the city, the life of the temple, and all of the, you know, it was really the center of Jewish life and commerce and politics and everything. And he went out to the desert. He went out to the silence. He went out to this place and lived this life of quieting his passions, his earthly desires, so that he could cultivate an ear ready to hear the voice of God. He searched out the silence. He died to himself so that he could hear Jesus when he came. Now, Mother Teresa also commented on this need for silence in our lives. She says, "Jesus taught us how to pray, and he also told us to learn from him to be meek and humble of heart. Neither of these can we do unless we know what silence is." So we can't pray and we can't be humble without silence, she's saying. "Both humility and prayer grow from an ear, a mind, and a tongue that have lived in silence with God. For in the silence of the heart, God speaks." So Mother Teresa, too, is reminding us that not only this external silence of what we hear, but silence, you know, taking time to quiet the mind and to stop the tongue. It's only in the silence of the heart that we can hear the voice of God. Okay, so just a few thoughts about why that might be true, and then I'll leave it to you maybe to find time and places that you can make silence possible in your life. First of all, the importance of silence, just to meditate on the life of Jesus. His life would have been filled with a lot more silence than what we are used to. This is partially because of the time that he chose to enter the world, right? There weren't radios or TV. There weren't headphones that people would have when they were walking around, right? The norm would have been silence. And to speak would have been to break the silence. Right? For us, it almost seems like the opposite. The norm is that there's some noise, something speaking at us, something singing at us, right? Something beeping at us. And silence would be the exception. For Jesus in his life, it would have been opposite. And even then, he specifically took time to go away, to be with his Father in isolation, in the silence of prayer. So not only was his life filled with more silence, he still felt the need to go away to seek more silence. Had this experience of walking the Camino, the way of St. James, my first year of major seminary. And so it was 2 weeks. We were walking about 150 miles over the course of those 2 weeks, I think. And, you know, I liked the people that I was with, but the more the 2 weeks went on, the more our time was filled with silence. There was just something about just that naturally when we were walking that we were being drawn into silence. It became the culture in which we were making this pilgrimage. And of course, that was odd, maybe. It felt different. But what it did was facilitated our ear, attuned our ear to hearing the voice of God. Okay? So this is possible for us. The example of Jesus, it was part of his life that he cultivated silence. Another thing that silence does for us is it promotes a healthy introspection. Aristotle, great philosopher, said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." Right? Human beings, all of the creatures that roam this earth, we're the only ones that are given this capacity for introspection, to take a step back and to think about our life and to reflect upon it. And if we waste that opportunity, we're being something less than human, right? The unexamined life is not worth living. So silence gives us an opportunity to do that, to step back and to have a healthy introspection, to think about our lives. What do we discover when we take time for that? Well, one thing we might discover are the different voices that are in our heads and the motivations with which we act, right? The consistent themes of how we think or how we evaluate things, what drives us to make the choices that we do. This was something that I noticed very clearly when I was on my 30-day retreat, 30 days of silence. Started realizing these patterns of thought, right? Whether that's, I'm seeking approval through these different actions, or in this part of our life, we're motivated by anger, or something's coming out of fear. That's what it's arising from. Our insecurities, our desire to be liked, our desire to be noticed, our wanting to be in control. You know, all these different things that we might not notice, we might take for granted. When we take time for silence, the voices and the motivations in our hearts are revealed. You know, John the Baptist in another place says to the people, "What did you go out into the desert to see?" Right? He's asking them, he's reminding them that they went out into the desert to be able to discover their motivations, right? Their heart of hearts, okay? And what this allows us to, once we're aware of this, is it allows the Lord Jesus to enter in and to correct, revise, encourage, right? If we have a thought pattern that's not helpful for us or something that's leading us into sin, or if we're living in some kind of an illusion, he is able to unveil it and bring the truth, bring the reality. John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to him, "Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say that we are the sons of Abraham." Right? I was reading it in the Spanish. It said, don't be under this illusion. Okay? A lot of times we live life with these little illusions that things are a certain way, or that this is true, or that this is the reality. And we don't realize the danger that we are in. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were under this illusion that their heritage meant that they were automatically disposed towards the grace of God and towards the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist says, don't be under this illusion. You're coming out into the desert, into the silence. Let the truth strike you. So the silence makes all of those things possible for us. And as Mother Teresa said, it truly allows us to hear the voice of God. Basically, when there's all these other voices, I'm going to be honest, God says that he's a jealous God. He doesn't like to compete because he doesn't need to, right? He doesn't need to step up in the ring against the number one contender to prove that he's God, okay? So if we're allowing all these other voices, God's voice will remain silent. But when we quiet the voices of the world and the voices of our own mind, then God knows he is free to speak. That's our act of faith, recognizing that he is God and that we want him to be in control. When we take time for silence with the Lord, that gives him the freedom to take hold of us, the freedom to speak to our hearts. And just imagine that journey of the Magi, right? The wise men. It must have been filled with this profound silence, weeks of it, wondering, what are we doing? Where are we going? What are we going to encounter? Contemplating the stars, right? That's who they were, astrologers. That silence prepared their hearts to adore the newborn king. So as we continue through this holy season, let's find some time to cultivate this gift of silence, this act of faith that allows us to hear the voice of God so that we too may be able to come and adore the newborn king.